Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I've entitled this morning's message, God is our refuge and shelter. God is our refuge and shelter. And we're going to be in the book of Psalms most of this morning. And we're going to see a glimpse once again. We're going to go back to see the heart of King David. King David was a man after God's own heart. And one of the things we see with King David is that he was not a perfect man. I hope you know that. He was not perfect in any sense. But he would confess his faults when he would fall short of the glory of God. He would confess those things to God, and God would do something miraculously with him. God would restore him. God would continue to lift him up. And we're going to see in Scripture that when times of trouble, when times of hardship, when times of circumstances that come to us, on a day-to-day basis, that we do have a strong tower. We have a refuge and shelter that we could run to. The Bible says, and the righteous run in it. And we need to understand that if God be for us, who could be against us? Can I get amen? God will never leave us nor forsake us. But we have to believe in faith that he is who he says he is. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord God, our banner. Amen? So does the Lord Jesus Christ, his banner, is it hanging over your doorway at home? Yes, Jehovah Rapha. Come on, there's a whole bunch of names. But let's look at Psalms 46. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 46. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. Amen? And the Word of God reads, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Salah, that was a pause that David would put. Anytime you see Salah, that was a pause. And then in verse 4, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God shall help her just as the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So we're going to look at some principles this morning, amen? And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to take us where he needs to take us, that we would have an understanding that when we leave this place, we will know that there is a refuge and a shelter that God has provided for us on a daily basis, amen? So let's look at number one here. Here we go. Number one, the secret place of the Most High God. Now, where do we find this in Scripture, the secret place of the Most High God? Some of you have it written in your Bible. Some of you have it written on your refrigerator door. But somewhere, somehow, the next verse of Scripture that we're going to read for our understanding is so profound, is impactful. And we can read that in faith and understand why King David wrote this. Did you know that he had many enemies? He had a lot of characters in the Word of God that truly would bring terror and fear. And so when he felt so alone and so shaken and anxiety and fear set in, no differently than when we experience things in life, he knew how to get a hold of God. And he knew how to run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, at that time it was Jehovah, but we know it was Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We just didn't know that name just yet. It wasn't not the incarnation yet. So look, let's look at Psalms 91. Let's look at this. He who dwells, here it is, in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. God is speaking to us on a daily basis that we would learn to trust the Lord with all our heart, lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. Amen? Look at verse 3 here. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Oh, come on. We were plagued for a year and a half now with pestilence. Can I get amen? And he has delivered us. Can I get amen? He has watched over us. Thank you, God. He didn't allow us to perish or die. Thank you, Lord. Look at this. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. So if you're walking in truth, if you're walking in the ways of the Lord, he will put a shield about you. You guys remember Star Trek, remember? And the Klingons would come and they would put up their shields, right? Well, God puts a shield around us that you cannot see with the natural eye. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. God is there for us. He is there. Look at this. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor that the arrows that fly by day. Praise God. Praise God. Look at verse 6. Nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Praise God. I remember when this plague busted out, you kept watching bad news on the news. So many thousands died in New York. So many thousands died here. So many thousands died there. And they were all falling by the wayside. But look what God said here. He said, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near your home. Hallelujah. Only with your eyes you shall see, you will look and see the reward of the wicked. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh my goodness. We serve a mighty God. Can I get amen? Look at this in verse 12 or verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in what? In all your ways. My goodness. In all your ways. Look at this in verse 12. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. This is spiritual warfare, my friends. Hallelujah. These are metaphors of what satanic, sometimes assault that could come to us. But God has given us power, hallelujah, over the wicked one. We're able to stamp, hallelujah, Satan and his dominions. Can I get amen? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look at this. And then in verse 14, because he has set his love upon me. Say that with me. He has set his love upon me. Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. This is the key for you and I. Love the Lord with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Love him and continue to love your neighbor as yourself. And when you operate in that love of God, let me tell you, the blessings will be upon your life. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know. It's easier to hate someone, but it's much harder to love someone, even when they despitefully used you. Can you still love them? Can you still love them? Look at this. Look at verse 15. And he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. This is for us. This is for us today. We can call upon the name of the Lord. Can I get an amen? And he will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him with honor. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise God. Listen, we're all here because of God's grace. He has blessed us. He has blessed each and every one of us the moment we were conceived in our mother's womb. He has blessed us, and he knew your name. And he knew that somewhere down the road in your life that God was going to call you. Amen. And do a mighty thing in your life. Praise God. Thank you, God. So let's look at our second principle. God is our shelter. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints of God, David the psalmist, he used buildings to personify the protective qualities of God. And much of what we read in Psalms 91 is spent assuring the individual that God will protect them from harm. How many of you have been protected by harm? Amen. Amen. I got to share just a quick little story, and then we'll move on. And whether I finish this sermon, only God knows. But I had just got saved. This is 32 years ago. And I was so on fire for God. Man, I was just bringing people to church and watching them get baptized and watching them get filled with the Holy Spirit. I was attending North Park Apostolic Church at the time. And one of my favorite services was Sunday night. It was testimonial service. Well, I ran into a friend at the National City Car Wash on Plaza Boulevard. His name was Lewis Davis. I said, "Lou, what's going on?" We hugged him. And the first thing I said, "Are you going to church?" He goes, "No." I go, "Would you like to come, man? I'm telling you, man, God's doing something mighty." He goes, "Well, I don't have no car." I go, "I'll come and pick you up. I'll come and pick you up, man." He goes, he gave me his address. "Okay, I'll meet you there. I'll pick you up at 6 o'clock. And it was already winter time, so it got dark early. So I drove down Plaza Boulevard and made a left on D Street, went down the hill, and I saw his apartment right there. It was on the street side. And I pulled in, and I looked to my left. Man, there was like 60 homeboys out there. They were called the Insane Boys of National City. Matter of fact, that same group killed my nephew at Plaza Bonita Mall. And as soon as I walked out of my car, it was a van. I had just bought a van. I was bringing people to church. I was excited. As soon as I stepped out, they started mad dogging me right there from the side of the street. And they were saying, "Orale, where are you from?" I said, "Hey, I'm just here to pick up a friend. I'm just here picking up a friend." And they were cursing me that I wasn't welcome in their barrio. And so I said, "Oh my gosh, well, I just walked into a hornet's nest." And so I ran to Lou. I go, "Lou, open up. Open up, Lou." So Lou has looked out the window. He opened up. I go, "Lou, who's all these guys out there?" He goes, "Oh, those are the Insane Boys of National City." I go, "Man, I wish I would have had a heads up here." I go, "Are you guys all ready to come to church?" He says, "No, man, Wendy's ill, and, you know, I'm sorry." I go, "All right, well, can I use your phone? Because I'd like to call the cops so that I can get back to my van." Because when I looked out, there was 7 of them already leaning on my van. And there was a whole bunch of them. And I said, "Lou, walk down with me." He goes, "Oh, Fee." He goes, "When they're out there, no one walks out." I said, "I got to get back to church, man." And I go, "Let me use your phone." "I'm sorry, Fee, we don't have a phone." And back in those days, if you had a cell phone, they were about this big. They were like a big, giant walkie-talkie. There was none of that technology back in 89. So I said, "Lou, I got to go." So I started stepping out I walked toward my van, and as soon as I got close to my van, they surrounded me in a circle. And this one guy had a Pendleton on with an open, and I saw a silver gun right there. He goes, "I'm going to be as clean as possible up here," what he said. He says, "Orderly, fat boy, where are you from?" I said, "Man, I'm here to pick up a friend. I'm leaving now. I got to go." And they weren't moving out of the way. And so I closed my eyes. I said, "God, help me. God, help me." And Jesus spoke to me clear as day. As we're reading these scriptures on how he would protect us, Jesus spoke to me and said, "Yell my name as loud as you can." And I yelled out, "Jesus!" That's all I had, was his name. And it was like the Red Sea parted, and they moved out of the way, and I walked right by them. Hallelujah! I walked right by them. I got into my van, and I was gone. Hallelujah. I came back, and I testified, and man, the organ started playing, man. People were running the pews. That night, God showed me something, that he is my shelter and my fortress. These guys were the epitome of thugs, okay? You know, I bet every one of them had a rap sheet a mile long, and they didn't care who they did away with. But God was with me. Hallelujah. The anointing of God was upon me. Hallelujah. And I give him glory till this day. That was 32 years ago. Oh my gosh. I'm here today because of God's fortress and his shelter. And so words such as refuge and fortress and habitation are used throughout the Psalms. Although these words are not identical, they are all places a person might have. Hallelujah. And so, saints of God, the idea of being personified here is that God's dwelling is not just a place where an individual might go, but a place where an individual can live. Where we can live. Praise God. Let's go back to the scripture, or to another point here. God is our hiding place. Praise God. Saints, the idea of God being compared to a hiding place or as one who hides the believer may be found in many psalms that King David wrote. Let's look at this one. Psalm 17, 8, 9. "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings from the wicked who oppresses me, from my deadly enemies who surround me." Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? How many are so blessed to know that he's with you? Look at this in Psalms 27. "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion." Thank you, God. "In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." Thank you, God. Let me just say this. All of God's children has a special place in his heart. He doesn't have favorites. Can I get amen? Amen? There's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. We're all the same. We're all equal at the cross. But one thing is certain, he will watch over us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All equally, he will guard us and protect us. Oh, thank you, God. And he will show up in a time of trouble. I needed him right there at that moment. How he got me out, it was but the grace of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this, Psalm 119. Look at this. "You are my hiding place, my shield. I hope in your word." One of the key is to know God's word, to be in his word. Amen. Saints, hiding is associated with a desire for protection and safety. The psalmist made an evocative point that it is good for believers to seek God in times of trouble and uncertainty. And that was me. What I just shared. Look at this. Number four, "I will hide myself in the Lord through prayer." That is the key for you and I, is to be in prayer. Amen? Amen. Because in the New Testament, it's spelled out for us. You see, we took communion this morning, right? And we all saluted the King. But he went beyond than just we salute him. He died on a hideous cross. He was mocked. He was beaten. His beard was pulled off. He was so mangled up that Josephus, who was a historian, he wrote down in his writings, because he was an eyewitness. He was an eyewitness. He was on the scene. He said that he was naked before the whole world. And they, you know how we see Jesus on a cross in many photos. We see him on crucifix. He always has like a terry cloth underneath. He was fully naked. And he was beaten so bad that you could not tell his gender anymore. That's how ripped his skin was. And yet, as he hung on that cross, his words that will go down throughout eternity, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What kind of love is that? That's beyond. Man, if I'm up there, you know, with a few slashes, oh man, someone get me down. I want to get down from this place. Listen, he could have sent legions of angels and wiped them all out. But he didn't. He had to go to the cross for you. So while he was on the cross being crucified, he already thought of your name. He's thinking of you and me. 2,000 years later, I'm going to do a mighty work. I have to go through the cross to show them my love 2,000 years later, that I will still love them and I'm going to raise them up. Praise God. The book of Hebrews tells us this in the New Testament. Look at this. "Seeing that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." What does that mean? That means keep your testimony. Share with others what God has done in your life. Let them know that Jesus loves you. See, the first thing we want to do is condemn someone of their sin. No, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We want to tell people that God loves you despite of yourself. Despite of yourself, God loves you. And he wants to save you. He doesn't want to condemn you. The Bible says we're already condemned. This world's already fallen. He came to save us. Look at Jesus in this light. Is like if there's a big, huge ship in sea, and let's just say all of us were out there and we were fishing, you know, off the sides, and then a great storm which came unannounced, and then the boat started going side by side and waves were going over, and then all of a sudden it tipped side, and now we're all in the water, and then one by one we're getting eaten by sharks, and it's horrific. And then there's one person left, and the sharks are just circling around. And the reason why they haven't eaten you, you could be the one that in that middle. The reason why you haven't been eaten up is because their bellies are full. And then here comes a boat and throws a lifeline. Grab on. I asked this question. Would you want to be part of the shark's meal that day, or would you grab on the lifeline? I think most of us in here would grab on the lifeline. Amen? Well, that's who Jesus is. He's our lifeline. Hallelujah. That's why he came to save us from ourselves. And people don't understand that. Is that that's the love that he has for mankind. He had to become one of us to experience our heartache. He had to experience our pain. He had to experience our suffering. He had to experience slandering when he was slandered and mocked and spat upon. He took the humiliation of the world upon him. And when all that was upon him, he still said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is powerful what he's done for us. And if we get it into our spirit, what he's done for us, we will follow him. I want to follow him. He's a man's man. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He's done what no other person on this earth has ever done. And this is why I love him. This is why I honor him and I praise him. Look at this. "Hold fast your confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is why I come to him in the time of my need. Hallelujah. And it's not just, I don't come to him just because I need something. I come to him to tell him how much I love him. Every day, God, I love you, Lord. I bless you. Thank you for another day, because yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. You have given me this day. One day at a time, he gives each and every one of us. And so when I wake up, first thing I say, oh, God, thank you for another day. I walk in, and there's my wife sitting, and I tell her how much I love her. And I tell her how much I love her every day. Why? Because I'm not promised tomorrow. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I just want to remind her the grace of God, the love of God that's in my heart. Amen? Because God put that in there. And so, saints, prayer is how a secret and a sacred place is created with Almighty God. Prayer is a place of freedom and liberation where believers can express themselves to God openly and honestly. Bring your fears, your phobias to him. A lot of times we share it with other people, and there's nothing wrong with that, but be careful who you tell your stuff to. You may walk in and everyone will look and they all know. Give them to God. Give your cares to God. He won't tattletale on you. He will help you. He will lift you up. He will strengthen you. Thank you, God. And so prayer is a place, it's a sacred place where we can freely and authentically share our deepest hurts, our greatest longings, and worst fears. Thank you, God. Let's look at number five. We can trust God. How many believe you can trust God? Many of us spend hours of days sitting because we trust the chair we support. Let me just say this. Those of you who have wonderful furniture in your living room, you know that that's the one place you like to sit. And no one sits in there but you, right? And so when you sit down, you know that it's going to sustain you, and you can watch your television or meditate, whatever. It's a place where you know that when you lie backwards, you can trust that you're not going to sink, nothing's going to bust, the back's not going to bust over, right? You trust that. God is saying, trust him that way, with the simplest faith. Trust him no differently than sitting down on your couch. Trust him with that type of faith, and let me tell you, he will take you and show you great and mighty things. You see, saints of God, when we trust Jesus, we have committed our lives into his care. And I'd rather have his care. Because I've been through the HMO and the PPO and all that. And God's care is far superior than that. He'll come in where the meds stop. He'll come in where the doctor says, I'm sorry, I have nothing else for you. Jesus will come. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You see, he demonstrated that he would execute justice upon sin, also extending mercy and love to sinners. You see, there's going to come a day of judgment. We know that. But God is preparing the church so he can take us out of here.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Look at what Paul wrote in the book of Romans. Whom God set forth as a propitiation. What does that mean? That means a substitute through his blood. It was by his blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, his foreknowledge, knowing the future, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Let me just say this. Before we came and got saved, God stepped over, despite of our ugliness, despite of our life that we lived in, he stepped over it, did not destroy us, and gave us grace and mercy. Knowing that we were rotten sinners, I was. And all of you guys were all angels, right? Okay, I get it. I get it. But that's what the Word of God says. He passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time, today, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ. That's all God is saying. Have faith the size of a mustard seed. Look what Paul wrote in Corinthians. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Aren't you so blessed? that God did not hold you accountable to all your past sins. He was gathering us to forgive us of our sins. Oh, come on. Get a hold of that. You know what blows me away? Even in our prisons today, those who have been incarcerated, those are locked away. A lot of them find Christ in prison. And guess what? Some of them are more freer than us that's in the free world. Can I get an amen? Yeah, there may be a steel door in front of them, but their hearts have been freed. Hallelujah. And they can worship the King and worship God. And it doesn't matter how long their sentence is now. All they know is that when their day is done, they will be in the presence of God Almighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's what it's all about, is that when we are done here, we are beginning there with Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. Reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. Let me just say this. God wants to use us to reconcile others. Either back to us, but more so that we would share the love of God so that God will reconcile all of them to Himself by being a witness. Can I get amen? Amen. But we ought not to have a ought with no one here, right? We should be able to work things out by God's grace. So saints, we can now take heart knowing that God has proven Himself as trustworthy. How many believe that God's trustworthy? Amen. Amen. He has shown me time and time again how good He is. Let's look at this next biblical principle. God is faithful to those who love Him. He's faithful. Now, He was good to us when we didn't love Him too. I hope you know that. But once you come into the saving knowledge and now you embrace Him, you embrace the cross. You embrace Him and you tell Him how much you love Him and how you adore Him and you're thankful for what He has done in your life. Let me just say this. He shows up on times where you can't even expect Him showing up. I remember working in the lumber yard. I was going through some things and I was in the nail shed. The nail shed is these plate nails that hold the trusses. They have to go through a machine and they're pressed together, and we make the trusses for roofs. And I was in there all by myself, and I was just eating my lunch, and I just said this, God, I haven't felt Your presence in a while. I go, are You hiding from me? And as soon as I said that, bam, He came upon me, and it was like, I never left you. And the corners of my mouth were pinned to my ears, and the joy from within me was just flowing. And oh my gosh, I remember break time was over, and I was walking out to my area, and I said, God, back off me, I'm gonna melt. You ever had Him on you so strong? Then it's like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna melt, God. Please back off me. It's too strong. I can't contain it. And he just lifted a little bit from me, but I felt His joy that whole day. Saints of God, He loves us. He loves His own. Can I get amen? And God is faithful to those who love Him. Look at this. The Word of God personifies this. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. Did you catch that? See, when you set your heart upon the Lord and love Him, He will deliver you in the time of your need. Oh, yes, He will. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I will set Him on high because He has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him with long life. How many want long life? Oh, come on. One of the reasons why we want long life, it's not selfishly. We want to see our children prosper. We want to see our grandchildren prosper. Can I get amen? We want to leave them a legacy. We want to sow into their life so that when they become adults, they'll become productive. And they will honor their parents and grandparents. Can I get amen? And I just want to say this. The children here at Amazing Grace, they're so adorable because they honor their parents and grandparents. Can I get amen? Amen. Praise God. And that's something that was instilled in them. Hallelujah. By God's grace. And so the psalmist was speaking to a person who was seeking God's care and protection. That was King David. In the last three verses of Psalms 91, he spoke to the individual. So you have to make it personal. Make Psalms 91 personal to you. That this is for me too, God. This is not just what King David wrote, but I can apply this today for my life. How many believe that God is still alive and well? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And at many different times and many different ways, God has pledged his faithfulness to us. He's faithful. However, the most significant way we experience God's faithfulness is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Let's look at our seventh principle. Say that with me. I will trust in the Lord. Thank you, God. That's all God is asking, is that we would trust in the Lord. Despite of what it looks like, there's some things that we experience, and if we were to put a litmus test to it, some outside that don't know what God is doing inwardly, they would say, oh man, it don't look good. That doesn't look good. And you may feel that it doesn't look good. But let me just say this. God will never leave us nor forsake us. God will be with us. Can I get amen? God will strengthen you. God will make those crooked things in our life straight. And then we'll praise him with our mouth and say, oh God, thank you, because I learned to trust you. King David understood that. Look at this. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. Praise God. Look what the book of Mark says. But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. This is what God is saying to us. Don't fear, but believe. Believe God. How many of you right now have gone to the Lord with certain situations in your life, and yet you feel that maybe he just hasn't answered them yet? God is saying, don't throw the towel in. Why? Because the Lord is on my side. Look at this. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can man do to me? That's right. Come on. That's why I boldly went to my man. I would be lying up here if I didn't tell you I was scared. I was shaking in my boots. But I had to trust God. I was looking at, is this the way I'm going to go? Okay, God, I go this way. But God did not let. And back then I did have hair, so he didn't let one grain of hair fall to the ground. I had to wait several more years for that all to fall to the ground. Look at this. In Psalm 28, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In my heart, trust, and I helped. I am helped. My heart exalts with my song, and I give thanks to him. You see, King David knew how to get a hold of him. I love King David. You know why? Because when you read his life, he was not a perfect man. He wasn't. And guess what? None of us in here are perfect either. Did I get amen? We didn't come out of our mother's womb with a halo on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No, we came out. Wah, wah, wah. We're already crying for something to eat, huh? Feed me, feed me, feed me. Oh, yes. God's been good to us, though. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. And Isaiah, back then, the prophet said, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on you because he trusts in you. Praise God. Amen, amen. So we have to understand that God is our refuge. He's our refuge. And saints, the concept of cities of refuge in Scripture should remind readers that God is concerned about us and will provide a place of refuge where we can experience protection and deliverance. Oh, yes, we can. We can. I can share a bunch of stories similar to what I just shared. I just don't have time. But God is with us. Can I get an amen? How many believe that God is your rock?
Yes, he is. My stronghold and my rock.
King David said this, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who train." Look at that. He trains my hands for war. That means spiritual war for us. Can I get amen? My fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me. God subdued those folks right before me. And I didn't know how he did other than they moved out of the way. Praise God. Listen, when we talk about persecution, we talk about trials, we talk about afflictions in our life, we talk about things that we go through. When we read the life of Paul the Apostle, praise God that none of us have ever experienced what he had to preach the gospel. If he did not obey God's calling in his life, we would never learn anything about Paul the Apostle. But he laid his life down as well. Look what happened to him, and we're going to come in for a close. Look at this. God will protect us, and he protected Paul from perilous times. We're talking perilous. Look at this. This is what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. So 5 times he was beaten almost to death. 3 times I was beaten with rods. That means iron rods. I'm telling you, after the first beating, I don't know if I want to continue. Look at this. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. And he wasn't stoned from a bong. He actually was at a real rock concert where they picked up stones and they threw them at him. I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I have been in the deep. He went and didn't care where he was going other than being led by the Holy Spirit. Look at this. In journeys, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers. He had to deal with robbers. Just imagine some hoodwinks jamming him up, taking all that he had. In perils of my own countrymen. His own countrymen turned on him. In perils of the Gentiles. Remember, he was a Jew. So non-Jews attacked him. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. So when he was out there on a ship, when he was preaching the gospel, they persecuted him there. In perils amongst false brethren. That's what really gets me. He's around people thinking he can trust, and these people turn on him. Wow. Look at this. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often. He would fast and say, oh God, help me, help me, help me. In cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me, what? Daily. My deep concern for all, he didn't care about himself. He cared about what was going to take place in our day and time. His concern was about the church, that it would grow, that people would get it, people would receive Christ, people would learn to love the Lord God. He didn't care about his life. Can I get an amen? He didn't care. He also wrote this, last point I'm going to deliver here. God will deliver us. How many believe that God will deliver you in whatever situation you're in? I don't care what situation, I don't care what it looks like. Guess what? If we were all to paint a picture of our affliction, of what we're going through, our family life, our work life, our school life, when we're done, all the paintings look the same. Because we're all going through things that God said we would here on earth. They all look the same. There's no indifferences other than God is able to see us through. God is able to protect us and watch over us. God is able to deliver us. And Paul wrote this to the Galatian church, to the churches of Galatia: grace to you and peace from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for what? Our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. We're living in an age that's wicked. And man, there's some things that I can't even watch TV no more. You're trying to watch a football game, and here comes a commercial, two men in a tub. Talking about medicine that will protect them from one another. What? Come on, we're living in an evil time. We're living in a time where cities are being ravaged, where in Chicago every weekend, at least 500 are being shot every day. What's going on? Well, Paul made sure that the word of God would reach us in our present day. That according to the will of God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever, that God would deliver us, God would watch over us. Let me just say this. God is watching over each and every one of us in here. Can I get an amen? Amen. Why? Because he loves you. He loves me. Hallelujah. And Paul wrote this, and we close with this. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Let me just say this. I don't care what we're facing right now, whether it's physical affliction, whether it's relational, whether it's financial, whether it's with your work institute, it don't matter. Because God will deliver us. God will strengthen us. God will raise those dead things in our life and make them come alive. A lot of things that we go through, we think, man, remember when Jesus came to the tomb and he wanted to speak to Lazarus because he was dead in the tomb for 4 days. And they said, no, Lord, he stinketh by now. They didn't have refrigeration. They didn't have anything in that day. And yet, the reason why Jesus prolonged his time to get there, because they called for him 4 days ago. He was setting up. You know that God sets up things in our life that he would be glorified and magnified? He purposely waited 4 days. Why? Because on the fourth day, skin worms start developing in a dead person's body. Remember, they didn't have refrigeration. So this is how God created those things, that we would decay right away and then go back to the dust where we came from. But Jesus came and said, where have you laid him? Right now, some of you are going through some dead things right now that only it will take a miracle for God to raise up from the dead. And he said, where have you laid him? He said, but Lord, it stinketh by now. He said, roll away the stone. Roll away the stone. And for many of us, there's a stone that needs to be rolled away so that we can allow Jesus to come in and work out those deep-seated issues in our life. We got to move away, roll away the stone so that God could come in. How many believe that God is still able to do miracles today? Well, he stuck his head in the cave and said, Lazarus, come forth. Oh, dead Lazarus got up. Can I get amen? Amen. But he didn't say, get up. He had to say, Lazarus, get up. If he would have said, get up, the whole grave site would have got up. Can I get amen? And there's situations in our life right now where the devil is saying, it's too late. It stinketh by now. You need to let the devil know he's a liar and he's the father of lies. God is the one who raised up Jesus from the dead. Can I get amen? Amen. And Jesus was raising up the dead in his time. Woo! So if God can do it then, he could do it today. Can I get an amen? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Hallelujah. And for those of you that need prayer, I'm going to end right here. Praise God. We serve a mighty, how many believe we serve a mighty God? Huh? We serve a mighty God. And he's worthy to be praised. First of all, I want to thank and praise the family on YouTube and Facebook who faithfully logs in. And I believe that God has something special for you too. And if you never received the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity right now. Maybe you logged in by accident. Maybe you were searching amazing, or you were searching grace and our website popped up. And now you're listening. And now God is extending his love toward you, that you too can receive Jesus Christ, like all of us in here, by faith. If you never received the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to bow your heart and your head with me. And I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray this prayer by faith, with you and for you, that you would give your heart to him and that God would do the miraculous in your life. So bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to come into my heart. Forgive me for every sin. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? God is so worthy. I'm going to ask everyone to stand.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.